Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus. I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you, Lord, to put a sense of prayer and a desire to pray into the heart of your people, for these days that are coming now are tumultuous. And many lives will be lost. But Lord, we expect to end up with ultimate victory. And we thank you, Lord, for putting it in the hearts of your people to pray and to believe and to do spiritual warfare in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to do again what I did in the last broadcast. Give you a little bit of intelligence about what's going on out there. Why is it that the left is in such a panic to stop President Trump at all costs? They know they're in a corner now. Everything that the president is doing is pointing out to them what he's planning. They already know it. They're frightened. And they feel they got to fight for their lives. The attempted impeachment shows how desperate they are to get rid of President Trump by breaking all the laws and the Constitution. Even children could see through it. They have spirits of murder and a lack of respect for life, which is a side effect of their Satanism, and they're sacrificing children to him. And also their partnership and love of Islam. It's a spirit of murder behind that. So they feel forced to attack, and they have the spirit to attack. I'll share some intelligence reports from the internet that have them frightened and desperate. These first ones were gathered by Judy Byington. First of all, the report on the FISA court abuse is expected to be released next week, which will implicate many officials, and they know it. On October 7th, 2019, President Trump met with top military brass to take down the deep state. The U.S. was headed for a civil war in response to an attempted coup the day before against President Trump, led by CIA Director Gina Haspel. And on the same Sunday, October 6th, Trump put out an undeclared national emergency alert, ousted CIA agents from the White House, and pulled 1,000 troops out of Syria and put the military on high alert, plus activated U.S. Marines and Army Paratrooper Reserve Forces, which have been practicing, by the way, to invade cities and even invade Washington, D.C., it appears. So things are really heating up here. And evidently, Trump also ordered the unsealing of 125,000 indictments against global and political elites. Charges against, and this will take a while, of course, this doesn't happen overnight for sure. It'll take months to finish it, you know, obviously. And charges against these elites, many of whom held secret accounts in billions of U.S. dollars at the Vatican Bank, included treason, child sex trafficking, pedophilia, global racketeering, gun and drug running, various types of fraud, embezzlement, and more. Pentagon sources said many of the 125,000 indictments would be unsealed, making for a bloody October revolution before the satanic Halloween holiday of October the 31st. Well, that don't give us much time. And of course, God has the final say on these things, but the Lord has shown us that He is going to take out many of the wicked in this coming conflagration, which He keeps on telling us in our morning prayer meeting is still coming. I'll read on here. October the 14th through October the 19th was believed to be a very quiet beginning of mass arrests. Of course, this is all out on the internet here, you know, so. And October 17th, final drop-dead deadline for the U.S. Incorporated Federal Reserve / Central Bank cabal to come up with quadrillions in gold for debt repayment to keep their fiat global money system afloat, or they would complete their loss of control of the U.S. and the global monetary systems. So this is a big threat coming against them, many big threats coming against them all at one time here. And I don't doubt that they're going to do something really stupid and evil. And October the 18th, according to Q, the IG report would be released. Okay, another one. October the 19th, martial law activation, if not before. Something big would happen around Saturday, October the 19th, believed to be the mass arrests in full swing with possible chaos breaking out. Dramatic changes and reforms within the U.S. government were expected to take place after the mass arrests. Thousands of elite U.S. Marine troops were ordered to be activated on the 19th of October for a national emergency. As I've already said, Trump's not in the habit of declaring what he's going to do ahead of time, so I would suspect some of these dates could possibly be pushed up. Okay, and here's portions of an emergency report by Mike Adams. Signed executive orders reveal Trump is planning mass arrests, military tribunals for deep state traitors like Comey, Clinton, Obama, and I'm sure the list would go on because this was actually written on September the 24th, 2018. And I'm picking out portions of it because I think they're important for people to understand why they don't just go out there and bring down the media. Why don't they just? There's reasons. And Mike points them out very well. As the documents cited here clearly show, President Trump is planning to carry out mass arrests of deep state traitors, including McCabe, Stroh, Comey, Barack Obama. Like I said, the list would go on today. That was back on September 24th. This is fully covered with accompanying documentation from the U.S. Federal Register in the links and videos below. This author is fully supportive of this effort to save America and arrest the traitors. Amen. The confirmation of Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court was key to getting this done in a timely manner, which explains why the deranged left is going to such outrageous extremes to fabricate false allegations against Kavanaugh and stage coordinated, well-funded protests to try to block the U.S. Senate from confirming him. Yeah. Yes, that was a big strike against him right there. And once Kavanaugh is on the court, it will be added. It will add the necessary support for constitutional emergency powers that concentrate power in the executive branch of the government, currently headed by President Trump during times of war and national emergency. Fact, the United States has been operating under a state of declared war since September 2001. Following the 9/11 attacks. Well, of course, they forced the 9/11 attacks. And yes, this is part of why martial law is necessary. Fact, the United States has been operating under a declared national emergency signed by President Trump since December 20, 2017. In this detailed analysis, I lay out the evidence for President Trump's plan to issue mass arrests of deep state traitors and then try them for treason under military tribunals. This is justified and lawful because the acts being committed against the United States of America by deep state traitors are acts of treason during a time of declared war. So it's still declared war. It is no coincidence that President Trump has deliberately funded the U.S. Pentagon with its most massive budgets ever conceived. This is because the Pentagon has agreed to run the military arrests of deep state traitors under the direction of the Commander-in-Chief, President Trump. And of course, the enemy knows all about this. President Trump, I believe, has decided to go to bat for America and utterly destroy the anti-American deep state crime ring that has been working for years to destroy this nation and end its national sovereignty. They wouldn't call it destroy, but that's, of course, the truth, you know. This will be Trump's legacy. He may not even run for re-election after 2020, since his entire plan to arrest the traitors and restore the rule of law in America will require him to step aside once certain goals are accomplished. And then he gives this, but let me say this, it has been prophesied, and I believe it is true, that he will win the election, and he will go in there. His job isn't finished as Cyrus, and we know what the Bible says about Cyrus and what he did, and so I believe he will continue. Note that in order to accomplish this, President Trump will need to declare temporary martial law. Yes, it will come in one form or another. And then he has updates, see clarification about martial law in the video appended to the end of this article. He will need our support during this time to maintain order and civility across the nation as the arrests and trials of deep state traitors are underway. We should all expect mass violence, chaos from the left, which is following the rules for radicals, a blueprint for communist revolts, and violent overthrow attempts of governments. Yep, it is. That's what they're doing. And, okay, let's see. Let me go on here. He has links to the documents here. Document 1, Executive Order 13818, signed December 20th, 2017, blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse or corruption. He's trying to cut their portion out of the pie, so to speak. And he's done that quite a bit. Their funds are dwindling due to this. This document specifically describes the crimes of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, James Comey, Robert Mueller, and other. And under the corruption section, alluded to the Uranium One scandal and Obama's multi-billion-dollar money laundering operation that handed nuclear weapons to capabilities to Iran. It says that the executive order targets, quote, any foreign person determined by the Secretary of the Treasury in consultation with the Secretary of State and the Attorney General to be a current or former government official or a person acting for or on behalf of such an official who is responsible for or complicit in or has directly or indirectly engaged in corruption, including the misappropriation of state assets, the expropriation of private assets for personal gain, corruption related to government contacts, or the extraction of natural resources or bribery. Natural resources, of course, would come Uranium One. This is very interesting. He has done everything he does, has done to prepare for this war. Yeah, this describes precisely what Clinton, Comey, Mueller, Obama, Brennan, McCobb, and others carried out under the Obama regime. These are more than just felony federal crimes. They are acts of treason against the United States of America carried out during a time of declared war. From that document, here is President Trump's declared national emergency. I therefore determine that serious human rights abuse and corruption around the world constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States, and I hereby declare a national emergency to deal with that threat. So he has done everything he can legally to prepare for this battle, right? Document 2, Executive Order 13618, signed July 6, 2012 by President Obama. Assignment of National Security and Emergency Preparedness Communication Functions, unquote. This executive order grants the president absolute control over all U.S. media, including internet tech giants, social media, news networks, and news websites. It specifically names communications that support continuity of government, federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal emergency preparedness and response communications, non-military executive branch communication systems, critical infrastructure, protection networks, and non-military communications networks, particularly with respect to prioritization and restoration. And by the way, the West Coast governor has struck down the use of ham radios, which is against this executive order. And he's been threatened by the president. And also him is bringing down the electricity in certain areas. Has been threatened by the president that he will take over the electrical PPG or something. I forget what the number of it is. But document number 3, Executive Order 13825, signed March 1st, 2018. Quote, 2018 amendments to the Manual for Courts Martials of the United States. Although much more difficult to read, this document essentially establishes the preservation of the government's right to prosecute crimes of treason and deep state collusion against America, all of which may be prosecuted via military tribunals under existing U.S. law. This would allow deep state traitors to be arrested by military police and subject to military trials run by the Pentagon, completely bypassing the corrupt court system, which has been deliberately stacked with complicit deep state traitors and resistant judges. And to accomplish this, President Trump must announce temporary martial law. I agree. That will give him all the rights and legal privileges to do this. For the record, I wholly support this effort to arrest and prosecute the thousands of deep state traitors who have become a cancer upon America. Were you aware that James Comey was a communist? John Brennan, of course, has remained a communist for his entire adult life. Barack Obama was a radical Muslim who despised America and worked every day to undermine it through a variety of nefarious means, including allowing U.S. military encryption technology to be captured by Iran via the U.S. drone GPS spoofing incident. Yes, his plan from the beginning was to bring down America. For starters, Barack Obama personally authorized the illegal Spygate spying on Trump campaign officials. Barack Obama also allowed China to hack 21 million U.S. military personnel records, effectively dumping the entire U.S. Pentagon database into the hands of communist China. For a full detailed explanation of Obama's treasonous crimes against America, watch this extremely important video from Real Video. Has been banned from YouTube for obvious reasons. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Brennan, Andrew McCabe, Loretta Lynch, Peter Strzok, and a long list of other traitors have been conspiring for years to destroy America from within and see it replaced with a communist regime run by authoritarian globalists. Tech giants like Apple, Google, Facebook are all part of the plan, which is exactly why you've seen every one of them working closely with China to roll out authoritarian techno-tyranny infrastructure systems that plan to enslave every citizen of the world, making them powerless and obedient to a globalist technocracy that runs the one-world government. Well, we won't be able to stop it completely, but we will slow it down for a while. What do you think, Saints? You can pray for that, right? Trump's plan is to rescue America from the globalists. In order to halt this global dictatorship and defend America against traitors who are working to destroy it, President Trump must carry out the following actions. Achieve the release of the declassified, unredacted deep state documents from within the FBI and DOJ that will reveal the full extent of deep state treason against America. The FBI and the DOJ are currently stalling this effort, furthering their treason against America and proving they have a lot to hide. Pelosi, Schumer, Schiff, and Warren have already committed acts of treason in calling on the FBI and DOJ to defy this presidential order. Yes, indeed, it is the law. Number two, to invoke the national emergency powers, which are constitutionally granted to the executive branch of the government. Technically, this already happened in 2017. Number three, invoke President Obama's Executive Order 13618 and seize control of Google, Facebook, CNN, Washington Post, and the New York Times. Now, that's all in President Trump's hands now. That's why they were so shocked that this happened. They couldn't do anything to stop it now. He's handed the gun over to Trump, basically. And this is to halt treasonous lies, coordinated election fraud, and political coup attempt, which is being run by all these traitors of America. So you see, he has it. I believe he's going to use this power when the time comes. Use all controlled communication channels to publicly declare the details of the crimes, the criminal actors, which have been committed against America. Disclose everything to the American people about how their country had been overrun and destroyed from within. Number five, order military police to find and arrest thousands of deep state traitors who have been deliberately undermining America from within. This will include hundreds of people inside the FBI, DOJ, and as you know, they're working on it, plus hundreds more in the State Department and other agencies. Arrests must also include traitorous, corrupt federal judges who have deliberately undermined America by, for example, blocking Trump's constitutional travel ban to protect America from enemy terrorists. Many traitors will attempt to flee the country, of course, and many of them have, too, by the way, to set up a government outside the United States. I've read about it at least a year and a half ago. And they will need to be located and brought to justice like former Nazi war criminals. Issue an executive order demanding national voter ID for all future elections. Amen. Need that badly because, of course, there are people that have been dead for years that are voting, you know, and so on. No longer will America tolerate democracy being stolen by the votes of illegals who are granted voting rights by California and other complicit anti-American states or cities. Amen. Update. Further clarification about martial law powers and what's needed to save America. Mike said, I posted an additional video that explains how we are already under martial law control of the deep state. And why Trump needs to assert his own executive power to clean out the swamp and to ultimately restore America to its constitutional republic status. I've even suggested that after this accomplishment, Trump should resign and step aside, handing back our country to the people. Well, depending upon how long it takes him to do it, I believe he is going to go for one more term. And if it takes that long, so be it. I'll say this, that after that term, I believe we're going to be in the middle of the tribulation. What most people fail to realize is that what we've been living under are many forms of martial law put in place by Obama. Some of those are being helpful to us, and some of them are not, that are still damaging America and its citizens to this very day. For example, the tech giants, Deplatforming of InfoWars, Natural News, and other pro-Trump channels is an extremely dangerous form of digital martial law, where citizens say certain things and are not allowed to exist in the online ecosystem. Another one, the left-wing media, now fully complicit in deep state treason against America, is handed daily marching orders by Obama's CIA factions that determine what news is allowed to be broadcast across America. This is still happening. The media is not the media. It is the anti-American propaganda arm of Obama's CIA, which is still in power and still working to destroy this nation. Deranged left-wing activists have placed all prominent conservatives under a form of de facto martial law where no prominent conservative can venture out in public without being harassed, threatened, or violently attacked by hysterical anti-Trump lunatics. It should say demon-possessed. Let's just say what's happening. The false prophets in the media have spewed out factious spirits and witchcraft spirits, which have taken these people down, and they don't even realize what they are doing. Trust me on this. I've gone through this with the church faction. This is exactly what's happening. They don't know what they're doing. The economic sabotage now being committed against InfoWars and other pro-Trump platforms by PayPal, Citibank, and others is a form of financial martial law where deep state-driven financial institutions commit selective economic sabotage against targets identified to them by Obama's CIA. If you think he's not still in business, well, it's a possibility he's not, but I'm telling you, he built a large, across the United States, system, Obama did, to make war against this president. Close associates of Trump now routinely find themselves indicted and prosecuted, like by Robert Mueller, under a kind of prosecutorial martial law where only selected political targets are subjected to legal scrutiny, while pro-Clinton operatives are granted universal immunity from all crimes, including those crimes committed by Hillary Clinton herself. The Obama administration weaponized government agencies against targeted citizen groups, deploying the IRS to enforce a selective taxation martial law policy of denying tax-exempt status against conservative nonprofits. The question is not whether you want to live under martial law. The question is whether you want to continue to live under Obama's deep state martial law, where the media, the courts, the prosecutors, the tech giants, the IRS, and every other element of the deep state is targeting conservatives and Trump supporters for complete destruction. That's true. This is why we need to pray, saints. In order to defeat Obama's deep state treason, we are going to have to go through a lockdown period that will enable President Trump, in conjunction with the U.S. military, to carry out the necessary arrests and prosecutions of deep state traitors who have infiltrated every level of the U.S. government. I don't know if you read Hidden Manna for the End Times, but in there I point out that the devil, even back when I started writing that book, was in complete control of the United States. He was taking it over for the purpose of taking over the head so he could rule the body. I'm talking about the head of the world, so he could rule the body of the world. And that's exactly what's been happening, even more so since then. So he goes on, this lockdown period needs to be supported by all patriots to give Trump the time he needs to achieve a clean sweep of deep state traitors who, as he explains, have become a cancer on America. I don't believe there can be a clean sweep outside of God himself. I just got to tell you, I mean, there will be a great attempt to root these people out. But just remember, the tribulation starts after this. Things swing back the other way. We've been given, I believe, a 3.5 to 4 year rest And all of this is for that purpose, because when Jesus, as in the first 3.5 years of what would have been the tribulation of that time, when he had time to sit down with his disciples and teach them the truths and so on and so forth, and was basically, had the freedom to do this. I believe that's why this is happening. It's because the man-child ministry, a reformer ministry, is going to have a relative time to rebuild the church, which is, you might say, rebuild the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, make no mistake, America is a nation under siege right now. President Trump will need to invoke extraordinary powers to defeat the deep state and deliver America back to the people. This is so true. And thank you for putting that out, Mike. And now Mike Hare took some notes from David Hodges' videos, some more intelligence of why these people are getting ready to fight, why they know their time is up and they must fight now. What I'm trying to tell you is the things that we've been telling you about an attack on America from this old Babylonish regime, which is being replaced by Cyrus regime, right, which is Trump, it's going to happen. Get prepared. Start praying. Praying for your relatives. Praying for the people you love. Praying for the innocent. Praying for the ignorant. Praying for people. Get ready, because God is going to use this to take down or bring to the Red Sea Pharaoh's army. So, and of course, Dave Hodges' program is the Common Sense Show, right? Are Steve Bannon, Mitt Romney, Bill Kristol all seeking to impeach President Donald Trump? Is John Brennan doubling down on his own treason with Gina Haspel's help? Is John Bolton now in full treason mode? As an intelligence professional, the only one I know of committed to holistic analytics, true cost economics, and never lying to the President of the United States of America, I am constantly on the lookout for weak signals that might be an indicator of emerging trends. And I have concluded recently the following. The Clintons and Pelosi's of this world are now in total harmony with the Boltons and Romneys of this world. Yes, it sure appears to be true. The two extremes, both committed to war as a profit center, both owned by the Zionists and the deep state, both subject to pedophilia and murderous pedophilia back blackmail, are all in against the president. How could you turn such opposites together? I believe that the pedophilia blackmail is the main thing. These people are trying to dodge the bullet, and they don't care if they bring down America to save themselves. They will do it. Steve Bannon is now in active betrayal of President Donald Trump and is actively collaborating with Mitt Romney and Bill Kristol and the Mossad toward the impeachment of the president and a new GOP candidate for 2020. He may also be working for John Brennan directly. Mitt Romney is leading an effort to mobilize over 20 Republican senators to vote in favor of the impeachment and nothing burger being put forward by Zionist and probable pedophile Adam Schiff. The traitors on the left and the right are coming together, which quite remarkably places the president in the center. You see, people that we normally have known to be right-wing people, when it comes to saving their lives from prosecution for these heinous crimes, they're going to do what they can to save themselves. That's happening. And the spirits involved in them are satanic. Even the people who are traditionally known as right-wing, Satan himself, his demons are in incorporated in their thinking all of the time. Because they were traitors, they were turned over to reprobates' minds. At least two billionaires who traditionally support Republicans are looking for Plan B at the same time that the Zionists are now actively seeking to take down the president to preclude his acting on everything we have from both the Epstein case and the NSA mapping of all Zionist calls and emails for the last 15 years, including newly decrypted emails, as well as his clear intent to make the deal with Iran. Yeah. Both Mike Pence and Steve Bannon, as well as Adam Schiff, are vulnerable on the Mossad, CIA, FBI pedophilia front. Yes, because they're all blackmailed, being caught in these, you know, ridiculous, you know, fornications. Nikki Haley and AOC are simply being bought by the Zionists. The president's closest circles are penetrated while his enemies are doubling down in fear and panic. Yes, this is true. Although the president is in a position to strike back and impeach all of them with far more credible information than he is uniquely authorized to declassify and make public, these traitors are relying on the president being slow and weak on this front. His mediocre staffs, some of whom are certainly traitors, are doing what they can to slow and misdirect the president. Yes, they know they've been had. They know when these things come out, they're trying their best to stop these things from coming out, but they know when it comes out, they've been taken. The president's two major weaknesses, incompetent staffs, incapable of leading a national narrative that makes values the issue, and lack of his own Trump studio and his own social media ecology, displacing Google Gestapo and creating vibrant local to national truthful information sharing channels, can be rapidly resolved. I do believe the president has a plan to do this, to have a true conservative outlet on the TV and otherwise. And I believe the money for that is on the way. I pray that by the 4th of July 2020, the president will not only have a Trump studio and his own social media connected to 250 million citizens, but that he will also have indicted at least 100 individuals, including Mitt Romney, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, with hard evidence that will incontrovertibly send them toward conviction for multiple crimes, including the enabling and cover-up of murderous pedophilia networks in California and Utah, as well as trafficking in newborn babies. It would be better to start this now and have it active by Thanksgiving at the earliest, 1st February 2020 at the latest. Yes, we hope for speedy fulfillment of these things. We need to pray. Everybody needs to pray. I know everybody's distracted with their day in and day out, things that they have to do, but it's time to pray. It's time to lay aside things and start interceding to the Lord. Also interceding to the Lord for wisdom and discernment and direction, which, by the way, the faction is warring against. I'm talking about the faction in the government and the faction in the church, because they are warring with witchcraft. Which, listen, at the head of both factions is Satan and witchcraft and faction. These spirits are ruling in both of these factions. Another one that the president, Trump, has promised to reveal the truth about is 911 And he has an executive order that anyone who knew about it beforehand and said nothing will be treated as treasonous. Whoa. Okay, so Dave says this. 9/11, it's time for answers. Yes, there are some answers out there that can't be answered by the scenario that they have quoted us. Just can't happen. Why was the video of the Mineta testimony removed from the 911 Commission website? Why has not the government addressed the coincidence of Able Danger in a case of a terror drill, providing plausible deniability for the terror act embedded within the drill? Isn't that crazy? The government had to be involved in this. Had to be involved in this. They wanted to have a reason to tell the military to step down during this whole thing. And I believe the military knows about it, especially the military that brought Trump in. I believe they know all about this. And here's another question. What explains the failure of the government to release the many videotapes of the plane on approach that struck the Pentagon? It is 12 years later. Where are the tapes? You're not going to find these tapes. But what you will find is people who went around and interviewed people around the Pentagon who said that plane swooped up over the Pentagon, over the roof of the Pentagon, and kept on going. Where are those people? The Lord only knows. But that plane did not hit the Pentagon. The people around it saw it. Okay. Why was there a change in the scramble intercept procedures 3 months prior to the 911 for jets that are off course, accompanied by a change in the shoot down orders? Preparing for 911. That's what they did. What can explain the failure of the government to scramble jets over a period of an hour and 28 minutes between the Twin Towers being struck and the crash in Pennsylvania? Was this kind of air security? Somalia could successfully invade the United States. Yeah. How could the unrelated events of 9/11 and the invasion of Iraq be successfully linked, which culminated in the demise of Saddam Hussein, despite strong evidence to the contrary? What explains the well-documented, Kevin Phillips, Bush/Cheney plans to invade both Afghanistan and Iraq within the first 10 days of the Bush administration? This was well in advance of 9/11. However, 9/11 was used as the excuse in the early days of our military action to justify these unwarranted invasions. Why wasn't this contradiction investigated? The well-documented engineering and architectural arguments, which in my mind clearly demonstrate that the fire and heat generated by the plane striking the Twin Towers were sufficient to melt the core of the buildings. Why doesn't this evidence support the 9/11 Commission findings? Why hasn't the congressional investigation looked into this striking discrepancy? Listen, I know I worked at Exxon at the time. We built whole buildings, but without walls. And they carried structures and, oil refining platforms. But the frame of the building was just like the buildings that they build for humans. And they, on all those I-beams, there is sprayed a gunite to fireproof that I-beam, so if a fire comes under that or in that, it will not melt those I-beams. And they have the same thing in these buildings. It is not possible. I have fought fires at the bottom of some of these, and I'm telling you, I have never seen an I-beam give way. Never. I've seen pipes, large, huge pipes, droop, sag, and give way, but I have never seen an I-beam give way. They do that on purpose. They don't want that thing to topple. They don't want, it can't fall straight down without being imploded. It just can't do it. It's not possible. So this is totally ridiculous, what they're saying. What could explain the almost near free fall collapse of all three towers, which defies the official explanation? Never before in the history of engineering and planes crashing into buildings has a building come down in such a free fall and symmetrical manner. It's not possible. It has to be engineered. It has to be. Where are the pieces of plane wings that supposedly struck light poles on its approach to the Pentagon? Shouldn't independent investigators be able to examine these wings to determine the authenticity of the 9/11 report on this topic? No, there was no wings from any plane that struck anything. That was all a big lie. They had to prove why there were no wings where that nice symmetrical hole went through the side of the building. And where are the engines? And how about the landing gear? Uh-huh. The trust me approach did not fly in 2001, and it sure doesn't in 2013. The attack upon the Pentagon appears to be, to any layman who looks at this evidence, to look more like a missile strike, of course. And, of course, they had pictures of the missile strike. I saw them. Everybody saw them. Then an airplane crash. Why does the circumference of the hole in the Pentagon greatly differ from the width of the plane? Because it was a missile and not a plane. Why is there an exit hole on the backside of the building since the plane melted upon impact? That's what they say, anyway. Where is the debris field that would expect on the backside of the building? Not there. It's all a lie. And it should have been stopped long before now. President Trump has promised to reveal the truth about it. He's a building builder. He knows what I'm saying is true. What about the pop-outs we see on each floor of the World Trade Center buildings before the collapse? How could this not be considered to be a controlled demolition? No way. It's a controlled demolition. Where are the skid marks on the lawn prior to the impact at the Pentagon that would have been left by the plane which supposedly struck the Pentagon? See, that hole was low enough that, yes, you would, the bottom of the plane would have hit. What about the evidence which strongly suggests that 11 nations warned the United States about the possibility of such an attack? How about that? Maintenance worker William Rodriguez was last man out of the Twin Towers. At 8:46 a.m., Rodriguez reported that he heard two distinct explosions 7 seconds apart, which emanated from the floors below him. Rodriguez also reports the two explosions occurred before the planes hit the towers. Rodriguez was interviewed by the 9/11 Commission for 30 minutes in secret behind closed doors. So who were these guys working for, huh? If it had to be kept secret. His testimony is conspicuously absent from the 911 report. So why did the last man out of the towers manage to have testimony left out of the 911 commission report? Brigham Young University professor Steve Jones concluded that super thermite was used to bring down the towers, including Tower 7, through a controlled demolition. Jones contends that he was warned by governmental officials that if he published his results, his personal pain would be great, and the warning proved prophetic, as Jones was fired from his job as a professor after publishing his results. How does a tenured university professor get fired for publishing legitimate research results when the peer review process could have been utilized to analyze and discredit the Jones claims? Ground Zero rescue worker Mike Ballone claims he was approached by unknown FBI agents a short time after he and his partner Nicholas DeMasi A retired New York firefighter found three of the four black boxes among the World Trade Center rubble before 2002. In the 911 Commission Report, Chapter 1, Footnote 76, there is the sole but definite reference to the airline black boxes. The CVRs and the FDR's voice and flight data recorders from American 11 and United 175 were not found. With this obvious contradiction, why weren't these two rescue workers interviewed by the 911 Commission? Another one, how could all four black boxes not be retrieved by the FBI when nearly all crashes through course of modern aviation history do retrieve the black box? When LBJ ordered JFK's presidential limousine stripped and cleaned, he effectively destroyed the primary crime scene in the murder of JFK and implicated himself as a co-conspirator in the murder. In similar fashion, 41 truckloads of debris were hauled away from Twin Towers within hours of the crime, and not one piece of the evidence was analyzed as a crime scene. This obstruction of justice, who ordered it? This an illegal action to take place, and why? Both events are felonies, and they clearly represent the tampering of a crime scene. Why didn't the 911 Commission report address the question as to why normal crime scene investigative techniques were not employed? Much of the remaining crime scene evidence is still being held under lock and key at Hangar 17 at JFK Airport. 12 years later, and with the ink dry on the 911 Commission's findings, why isn't the evidence made available to journalists and investigators? What is the government afraid of? An earlier generation knew that the government was lying about JFK's murder, but did little to force the truth out into the open. I refuse to capitulate to the same kind of arrogance and the possible underlying motives of key government agencies with regard to the events of 9/11 until these 20 questions and any other pertinent questions are answered. To the satisfaction of the victims, grieved loved ones, I will never let go of this issue, and neither should the citizens of this country. We have a solemn duty to the dead. The Western corporations have determined that China will rule the world. The UN has determined that China will rule the world. The bank establishment, in other words, the Rothschilds, have determined that China will rule the world. Why were the Chinese picked to rule the world? Well, they will never run out of soldiers, number one. Number two, no conscience whatsoever of carrying out genocide on their own people, much less the rest of the world. Hitler killed 6 million of his own people. Stalin killed 20 million of his own people. Mao Zedong killed over 60 million of his people, and the Chinese government are still killing people. Any government that allows a segment of its people that are in prison to have their organs extracted live without any anesthetics will have no conscience to govern the edicts of the world, the New World Order quid pro quo, in order as long as it gets to rule the world, of course, with the New World Order strings attached. The container ships that Costco were bringing in since 2012 allegedly have brought in Chinese soldiers in civilian clothes with containers full of military equipment placed in strategic places in the U.S. My own thought here is that it is reported that the Chinese contract for Port of Long Beach has been revoked by the president, and our military is moving in there. I believe he knows. The California government is fighting this. Many are on the take from the Chinese and will be seen. This all will be seen. So there's a lot of corruption going on, a lot of trouble going on. And we need to pray. People are feeling like this thing is won. I've got to tell you, it is not won yet. We must continue to pray and to cast down the forces of darkness. Father has brought to our attention that the faction in the church and the faction in politics are sending witchcraft prayers against the righteous and also against their prayers and dreams, visions, and directions from God. And I'm asking everyone to pray a way and a time to fast and pray down during these coming days the witchcraft prayers of the faction and both the church and the political realm. You know, Satan thought he had complete control over this government and he would never lose it. And he is losing. I don't say he's lost it. I say he is losing. I do know a Red Sea is coming. The Red Sea was to take down those people who were chasing God's people and into the wilderness, right? Which is the tribulation. And here we are coming to the tribulation. And these enemies of Christianity, God said he's going to break them. He's going to bring them down. A Red Sea is coming. And of course, we've seen little bits of it happening around us, but nothing like we're about to see. And the enemy knows it, and they're worried, and they're ready to kill people. And as you know, common types that we've been given about this whole situation against God's people to point to their loss. Pharaoh and his army came to destroy the righteous, but their curses were turned back on their heads at the Red Sea. Sennacherib and his army came to destroy the righteous, and judgment was turned back on their head. The armies that came against Jehoshaphat to destroy the righteous were turned back on their heads. Joel's northern army came to destroy the righteous, but were destroyed by God. And all this victory came as the people prayed against the enemy. Check it out. So we too today have to follow in this parallel and pray against these evil factions. They are satanically ruled, and Satan's head demons are involved in it. The faction is about to be declassified and indictments of their crimes unsealed, and the wicked are planning attacks against the people and especially against the Christians to take down their enemies. They want to distract from the revelations of their evil works. As such, do you know what the faction always does? They always blame someone for what they themselves are doing. This is happening with Trump. We also know that Trump is a parallel, according to revelations the Lord has sent us, with the man-child ministry, even pre-anointed man-child ministry. See, when the man-child's caught up to the throne, that's the anointing. What happens to that war when the dragon is seeking to devour the man-child beforehand? You see, that's what's happening. And Trump has sent the armed forces across the country to counter what they consider to be coming. Now, I say to you, you are God's forces. You need to go and do spiritual warfare and bring down these criminals. And we have been shown that this attack will be by plague, sword, famine, and fire, which is how the Babylonians conquered the apostate people of God for their sins. God has said he's going to redirect this thing towards the apostates to bring down key people that he believes, that he knows, are hindering his people from going into the wilderness. The willfully rebellious apostate Christians are in great danger, for the Lord has shown us that some of these are going to be dying in the midst of this trouble. They're marked for death by the Father. And some Christians are ignorant, and some are immature, and some are innocent and need our prayers and warfare against their enemies and ours. Pray for loved ones and for those who have been, you've been believing for, right? We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. We have the power to bind the forces of darkness and loose the angels of 911. No, not 911. Psalm 91. Yeah, right. The angels of Psalm 91, who will keep thee up so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. So, thank you, Father, for that. We know you've already taken care of these things. And in the last few days, in our morning prayer meetings, the people that come, they always pray. They always ask God to give a word that will be according to the need of the warfare at the time. What we need to pray against, right? They always do this. And then we come together and we share the verses and we see what God's saying to us. Not necessarily in the letter, but what God's saying to us. And I'll just give you a few of them, okay? Isaiah 16 and 12. And it shall come to pass when Moab, now you remember Moab was Lot's seed who divided against their own family. They factioned against God's people, their own brothers, right? Moab presented himself when he wearied himself upon the high place and shall come to his sanctuary to pray, and he shall not prevail. Let me tell you what this is saying very clearly, that the faction prayers are not going to prevail. They will fail. And all they've got to do is look around them and look at their life, and they can know that they've failed already. The final judgment hasn't been laid upon them, but they failed already. All they've got to do is look at their families, and they can tell you they failed already. Daniel 12 and 10. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. And this is true. This is happening. People who have discernment have been tested and overcome. You remember Jesus was filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He had to overcome before he started his ministry. And the same is happening in Christianity today. People are being tested by the devil. Some are failing and pushed to the sidelines. Others are not failing and they're being refined and purified. So let me read that again. Daniel 12 and 10. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But they that are wise shall understand. The wise understand what's happening. The wicked do not. They really don't know what they're doing. They've been given over by God to Satan. Isaiah 43, 14 through 17. These were all by faith at random. In other words, people praying in faith that God will speak to them and give them a word, and then using the random method. Since God is sovereign over all things, and a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, we can actually believe God to do this. He works all things after the counsel of his own will, the Bible says. All things. A people who believe in the sovereignty of God can believe for this, and they do, and it's amazing. In Isaiah 43, 14 through 17, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring down all of them, that's the Babylonians, as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in the ships of their rejoicing. The Lord is saying to you, he will bring them down. It's for your sake that you're here seeing this whole thing. He will bring them down. And I'm talking about the Babylonians and their Babylonian religions. Remember how the Lord told me that the religious faction, is at the head of the dragon seeking to devour the man-child. They are the ones who are physically doing the work. And will they go down? They will go down in the name of Jesus, I tell you. They will fail utterly. They have all kinds of huge plans to destroy the man-child ministry, and they will utterly fail. 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Think about it. Think about it. It was an astounding miracle to the nations when it was reported that God parted the Red Sea for his people to go through on dry ground. The water didn't touch them. They went through on dry ground. And there wasn't any place on their enemies that the water didn't touch, including their horses and their chariots. God's going to completely and perfectly preserve the righteous. Does he have authority to do that or power to do that when we're all mixed together in this mud ball? Of course. The Passover, which happened just 7 days before crossing the Red Sea. That death angel, that plague right there, went out and killed the firstborn of every Egyptian family. That's how accurate God's ability is to see that a plague that comes takes out the ones he wants. Life and death are in his hands. The best defense you have is to be in right standing with the Word of God. You can quote the Word till you're blue in the face to these factious people, whether in the government or in the church, and you will find they've got no conscience, and they cannot obey it, and they will totally ignore you. And who bringeth forth the chariot and the horse? Now look carefully here. He's applying this to the people in Babylon, but he's applying it to the Red Sea. And here we are in the midst of a Babylonish entity which is being destroyed by Cyrus Trump, the Medo-Persian king that followed after and destroyed the mighty Babylonian empire with genius from God. So now he's comparing the two. They are the same thing. In other words, this Babylonian empire is going to come to its failure at the Red Sea. Verse 17, who bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the mighty man. That's the Red Sea. They lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a wick. And I've tried to warn people that have come from our assembly who have failed their tests, been turned over to reprobate minds, and when you tell them that you've had dreams about them dying, they ignore you. Best thing to do is die to self now and live through this thing to grow up in God. They are quenched as a wick. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. In other words, it's not going to be like it has been. No. Think about all of these types that I pointed out to you. How that the wicked had control over God's people. And nothing was the same when God stepped in. It was just like the Red Sea. So what am I getting from Isaiah 43:14-17? The Babylonian deep state is going down in the Red Sea, and their religious counterparts are too. Joel 2:1-2. Something we ought to be doing. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Zion, of course, is the bride according to what God told John in the book of Revelation. It's the bride, and the bride will escape. They will escape. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Now, is this the literal day of the Lord, which comes at the end of the seven-year tribulation? No, he's using that as a type and a shadow of this day of the Lord. With the period that we're in now is the testing of the man-child and bride. The period that starts at the beginning of the tribulation period is the testing of the church. And if you don't know that the bride is not the church, you need to go and look at all the types and shadows in the scriptures, and you'll find out it never was the truth. It was a lie. And then it says, it is nigh at hand. Did you hear that? Nigh at hand. A day of drunkenness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness as the dawn spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there have not been ever the like. This is true about the deep state American machine. There has not ever been the like. Neither shall any more after them, even unto the years of many generations. Well, you know what? Let's just start at Babylon and think about the gold of Babylon, and then the silver of Media Persia, and then all the way down to the feet, which is in our time, the clay and the iron mixed together. You see, there's never been the same as Babylon. Babylon was the greatest kingdom, but even it couldn't withstand God. And the most valuable kingdom, considered that way because of the gold that was in the Babylonian image of the beast, right? And so nothing could have brought it down but God. And by supernatural power and wisdom, Cyrus did that. And they were destroyed. This great and strong and mighty army, they were destroyed. God is going to see to it. But God has a MO, a method of operation, and he uses his people to pray. It was by man that the curse came over the world. It will be by and through man that God will deliver the earth. And this is just the beginning. Those two testing periods that I'm talking about, the few years before the tribulation for the man, child, and the bride, and the years after the beginning of the tribulation, which are 7 years, these two periods are going to have tested, by the way, the bride. I believe God already knows and has already chosen the bride. And the people of God in the tribulation period, there will be a great falling away. There will be those who endure the trials and testings of the same thing, this faction attack against them. They'll endure the same thing. The righteous who overcome in the tribulation period, they will endure the same testing and trial. Because what this trial brings out is whether you want the relationship with the other members of the body to be that kind of relationship which was commanded by the Lord, to love and forgiveness and turning the other cheek and so on and so forth. And the wicked can't do that. They have to judge. And, of course, they're being judged with what measure they measured it out, as Jesus said would happen. They have to judge people. And they have to divert the attention from their sins to someone else. So they falsely accuse others, especially the man-child. That's their attempt to devour the man-child. They have accused the man-child of doing exactly what they have done. and the proof is enormous. So anyway, they were destroyed in this text. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 7. I'll read 5 through 9. Verse 8 was where the finger landed. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, an evil, an only evil, behold, it cometh. It is coming. It's an evil. It's an evil attack upon America. It's an evil attack upon Christianity. It's going to be successful against apostate Christianity. It is evil. God is sending evil. All of the world ruling empires were sent by God against God's people when they fell into apostasy. They were sent by God. He took credit for all of it. They were his battle axe, like Isaiah chapter 10 speaks. An evil, an only evil, behold, it cometh. An end is come. The end is come. God just keeps repeating the same thing all the way through here. It awaketh against thee. Behold, it cometh. And it's speaking about against his apostate people. You see, most of the church has turned away from true Christianity, which is delineated by the Word of God. And they think that their leaders that know more about what Christianity is supposed to look like than God himself. The Bible is the only perfect writing there is. It has a perfect numeric pattern going all the way through it. And there's no other writing out there. What could man think to do to correct God? Why is God sending this evil? Why is he sending the tribulation? A tribulation means a trial, a testing, right? To be tribulated. In other words, it's to find out who is who here. It's easy for people to claim religion. Lots of people claim Christianity. But this is all to find out who is the real elect child of God. Again, he repeats, thy doom is come unto thee, O inhabitant of the land. The time is come, the day is near, a day of tumult, and not of joyful shouting upon the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my wrath upon thee, and accomplish mine anger against thee. If you don't think that God could be angry about his people departing from his holy word, go and read the Word. Throw out all your religious ideas and go and read the New Testament and see if that looks anything like the church. And see if they believe everything that is written there. And see if the commandments of God are being obeyed that are written there. And you'll understand why God could be angry. And accomplish mine anger against thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways. The Lord said, by his word would he judge us, right? And I will bring upon thee all thine abominations, and mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will bring upon thee according to thy ways. And thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and you shall know that I, the Lord, do smite. You know, it's crazy, but back at 9-1-1, there were people that stood up and said, this is the judgment of God, and others shouted them down that it wasn't the Lord. He wouldn't do this. But now he's saying that you will know I, the Lord, do smite. These people, apostates that didn't believe in the sovereignty of God in everything. And even in using vessels of dishonor as much as he used vessels of honor. Yes, from the beginning, In Romans chapter 9, he clearly tells you he uses both for his own glory. He uses the vessels of dishonor to straighten out the vessels of honor, to crucify them, to bring them to their cross, as it was in Jesus' day. But he does it. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. That, therefore, when we see that the wicked destroying what they would consider to be the righteous, you know that God's hand's still in it. So this is a judgment warned and warned and warned in this few words, right? And Ezekiel 6, 11 through 14. Thus saith the Lord, smite with thy hand, and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. Now you know the house of Israel factioned against Judah and Jerusalem, the bride. They factioned against them. And they made ministers who were not ordained. They were not Levites. And they made the golden calf, you know, which, of course, when they came out of Egypt, they made the golden calf. It reminded them of the god of Egypt that they knew about in Egypt. And so they worshiped a Jesus that's of the world and not of God. And they're still doing that. The northern ten tribes totally apostatized. Anybody, by the way, the scripture teaches that people who were among the Israelites who believed in only the God of the God whose house was in Jerusalem, they went there. They joined them. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine. The seeds of famine have already been sowed, folks. Look at what weather warfare has done to the crops in the United States. If they're not baked in the sun for months, they're flooded for months. Look what's happened. Now, when troubles come and you don't have opportunities to bring in foods from other nations, when these problems start and the borders are sealed, what's going to happen? Now, Jesus still has his authority and power during that tribulation to multiply the fishes and the loaves. He still does that. I've seen him do it. He multiplies food. He multiplies money. He can do anything if you don't limit him with your mind, right? They shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. And we've been warning about the pestilence that the deep state is going to release and shoot themselves right in the foot, just like all those other types I pointed out to you. Verse 12, he that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon them. And you shall know that I, the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, and upon every high hill, and on all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the places whereof they offered sweet savor to all their idols, and I will stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate and waste. From the wilderness towards Dibla, throughout all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. There it is again. They shall know that I am the Lord. And when they go back to the scriptures, those that survive, there will be a great revival. Because they're going to know what caused this. They're going to know why so-and-so died, somebody that they respected highly. And who is going to have that Psalm 91 protection? The bride is. And all of those types, like the Northern Army that I mentioned to you, that was the bride. They prayed. God heard. Esther prayed. Ahasuerus heard. And he turned things around. The King of Kings turned things around for the people of God because the bride was respected. Her prayers were heard. And so, Isaiah 66, 12 through 14. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall suck thereof, and you shall be borne upon the side, and shall be dandled upon the knees, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted. In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. That's the bride. And you shall see it, and your heart shall rejoice. Talking to the bride. Your bones shall flourish like the tender grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants. Not the hand we just read about in the last text. The hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants. These are those who serve him. They serve the word of God. They don't have another Jesus. They don't have a golden calf. They believe the word of God. Every jot, every tittle. And he will have indignation against his enemies. Notice, two things are happening at the same time here. That's kind of what a Passover is, you know. It passes over some and takes out others. I'll read that again. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and he will have indignation against his enemies. All in the same sentence. Isaiah 60, 1 through 7. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. What is this glory? It is the glory of the nature of God. Paul explained the three glories, star glory, moon glory, sun glory. Who was it that fell? A third of the stars fell. Star glory is still has a lot of self-righteousness because the stars each have their own glory, right? And the sun, of course, has its own glory. But the moon doesn't have its own glory. It just reflects the light of the sun. That's stage two. Stage three is sun glory. That is having the Lord live in you and shine forth from you. And, of course, what is this glory? How do you get it? The more you become servant to the Word of God, the more your glory grows. And it says here of the bride that it is risen upon thee. Thy light is come. Arise and shine. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So you go from star glory, which is each have their separate glory. That's what self-righteousness does. It keeps people apart, you know. And then there's the second stage where the moon becomes one. If you become united with him in the likeness of his death, that's the moon, you shall also be of the resurrection, that is the sun. So, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know, justification by faith, you must have this. You must be believing this. You must not cast this down. Even at things you have failed that you don't want in your life, God knows it. He will be on your side as long as you're justified by faith and believing that Jesus took away your sins and gave you his righteousness. Don't depart from this no matter what. In all the testings and trials, in all your failures, don't depart from this. Confess your sin? Yes. And then confess your Savior. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Has it ever been more dark than it is now? And gross darkness the peoples. Have you ever seen people in darkness worse than we've seen now? No, never. Total demon possession. Total turned over to a reprobate mind. Total can't understand the law. What's good, what's true, can't do it. They joy in their wickedness. But the Lord will arise upon thee. So it's the Lord himself that is the glory, right? The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The Lord will rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light. Yes, the Lord's going to help them to see who was right. Multitudes of Christians are going to turn to the bride after this judgment. Multitudes. Nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Who are these sons and daughters of the bride? The ones that the bride's been given authority over. You know, when the Lord, who was the bridegroom, spoke to those first fruits disciples, John the Baptist called them the bride. They were subservient. Their job was to go out and bring the truth of the gospel to the rest of God's people we call the church. Their job. They were the bride. They brought it to the church. John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged. You know what's important to the bride is souls. Souls saved. Not money, not entanglements with the world and the lustly pleasures. No, that's not what thrills the bride. It's these souls coming. How would you feel if your son or daughter came to you during this time period? I have no doubt that this will happen in some cases. You would be very happy. You'd be thrilled. So it is with the bride. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The sea represents the peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues, right? The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. What is the wealth? Well, people are likened unto gold and silver and precious stones, the fruit of Jesus Christ, etc., etc. Verse 6, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense. Sounds like to the man-child, right? Remember when the gold and frankincense was brought? Okay. And shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance upon mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. And what are they doing? They're coming to renew the kingdom under the bride city, who is led by the man-child, David's. See, God is rebuilding that kingdom that he gave you types and shadows in the Old Testament concerning. And 2 Kings 19, 3-7. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. You remember when Sennacherib's armies invaded, and they had taken down the rest of Israel, and now they were approaching the bride, who had this protection from God. This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of contumely, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. There was no power from man that could save them from this army. Nothing. And it may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to defy the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. That was them. Why did he say that? Because that was the only thing that was left. They'd conquered the rest of the country. They'd taken out Israel on the way. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall you say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servant of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he shall hear tidings, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And by the way, what caused him to go to his own land? Because in one night, God killed 185,000 of his most valiant men. And he didn't even know what weapon hit him. They woke up in the morning, and these were all dead. Jeremiah 37, 9 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. This is interesting. You know, I mean, do people at this time really think the battle is won? Are we winning? Of course. Is the battle won? No. The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though they had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet would they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. That was the apostate city and apostate leadership of Christianity. There's two parables in the scripture, the righteous city and the apostate city, the fake bride and the real bride. We've got dreams about them on our site. And here we see the deep state, although wounded, is going to burn the apostate city. The apostate city represents the false leadership of Christianity. That's what the city is. It ruled over all of the rest of the kingdom of God. Right? And I believe what you're going to see is a deep state burn the apostate city. Whether the burning is all physical burning or whether the burning is just judgment that destroys, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Both are going to happen. And the leadership before being destroyed. Yes, that's what's going to happen. The Red Sea is coming. Psalm 97, 1 through 3. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his adversaries round about. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his adversaries round about. Well, the Lord said his reward was with him and his judgment was before him. And he is coming as the anointed man-child. Now in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord. Now, what a lot of people are calling the house of the Lord out there, of course, is not. People are the house of the Lord, but it does represent them. He burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem. That's apostate Jerusalem. See, when the Assyrians came against Jerusalem, that was a type and shadow of the righteous people of God, the bride. When the Babylonians came against Jerusalem, it was against the false bride. Every type from the beast kingdoms that came against God's people, every type is going to be fulfilled. It's just fulfilled with different groups of people, right? He burnt the house of the Lord, the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, even every great house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem round about. And the residue of the people that were left in the city, and those that fell away that fell to the king of Babylon, and the residue of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away captive. But the captain of the guard left the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. Ezekiel 6, 2 through 7. Son of man, set thy face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy unto them and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord to the mountains and to the hills and to the watercourses and to the valleys, Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. And your altars shall become desolate, and your sun images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain before men, before your idols. And I will lay the dead bodies of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate. And he goes on to talk about your sun images being hewn down, your works being abolished, your slain falling in the midst. And Psalm 68 and 21, But God will smite through the head of his enemies the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on in his guiltiness. Amen. Zechariah 14, 12 through 14, And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Well, you can see how that could be, right? And their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, meaning they will have no discernment. Right? God will take away their discernment. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Their words will be judged, because what they spoke was coming upon them. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, apparel in great abundance. Now we can see and we know that physically speaking, this is that great war in natural Israel that is coming, by the way, to fulfill a type. And we're just gaining what the Lord is saying to us about this attack by looking at this. Luke 1:55-55, He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down princes from their thrones. He hath exalted them of low degree. The hungry hath he filled with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty. He hath given help to Israel his servant, that he might remember mercy. as he spake to our fathers toward Abraham and his seed forever. So the humble will escape, and the rich will not. In Proverbs 15 and 26 through 33, evil devices are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth bribes shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. The good tidings make the bones fat. The ear that hearkeneth to the reproof of life shall abide among the wise. He that refuses correction despises his own soul. You know what happens when a person has rejection and then gets faction on top of that? Because rejection quite often is the demon that opens up the door for faction, very, very often. That you have there a person that cannot be corrected. They are never wrong. They cannot confess sin. And since they can't confess sin, they can't be cleansed of it. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I know people who have told me that they were repenting, but they never confess sins. And I told them, it'll never happen until you confess your sins. It just won't happen. It's what God says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. You need forgiveness first. And to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, you know, when people have rejection, they're, first of all, the number one victim, I would say, for faction and witchcraft. And when they enter in, I tell you what, that person there is proud of their sin. They're blaming everything on everybody else that they have done. And they cannot be corrected. But he that hearkeneth to reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goeth humility. So there it is right there. Humility will bring you to honor. And this, of course, represents the failing of the faction. It will fail because it is totally against God's word. Revelation 22, 10, 11. And he saith unto me, seal not up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. He that is righteous, let him do unrighteousness still. And he that is filthy, let him be made filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him do righteousness still. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. And what is this saying? Well, for one thing, it's saying the reprobation of the wicked. Psalm 129, 1 through 8, a song of ascents. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth up, let Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth up, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, and they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them be put to shame and turned backward, all they that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it groweth up. And Peter said, all flesh is as grass, right? Wherewith the reaper filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they that go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Once again, you can see the faction destroyed here. And here's one, Isaiah 47, 11 through 15. These are all from the last few days. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know the dawning thereof. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it away. Truly, the judgments that we spoke about, they will not be able to be put away. They come for a reason. You can't pray them down. Notice it said, they'll not be able to put it away. You can't pray them down. It's coming for a certain people who hinder his people. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou knowest not. Stand now with thine enchantments, which is witchcraft curses, right? And with the multitude of thy sorceries, which is also translated witchcraft, right? Wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be that thou shalt be able to profit, if so be that thou mayest prevail. Well, no, with faction and witchcraft, nobody will prevail. They are there simply to separate the wheat from the tares. The tares will believe them and fall in line, and the tares will be gathered together in bundles to burn them. The righteous will not receive what the tares receive. That's what separates the two. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from the things that shall come upon thee. In other words, what of any of these idols can save you from what's coming? Because the true God is the one sending it. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flames. We're talking about hell on earth, aren't we? It shall not be a cold to warm at, nor a fire to sit before. Nothing there to comfort. Right? It's all coming to destroy. Thus shall the things be unto thee wherein thou hast labored. They that have trafficked with thee from thy youth shall wander every one to his quarter. There shall be none to save thee. Sounds a lot like the book of Revelation, how people, when Babylon was destroyed, wandered on off, you know. And in this text, you can see clearly that faction and witchcraft brought their destruction. So, friends, let me say, please ask the Lord to put it in your heart to fast and pray and to intercede for, like I said, the people who are ignorant of these things. There are people that are innocent. They might even be walking through Babylon, but they're innocent and they believe the truth. They just don't have much of it. They don't know much about it. They're babies. And so pray for them. Pray for the innocent. Pray for the ignorant. Pray for the people that you're believing for. Pray for your children. Remember, you're believing for them. Don't worry about them. Don't fret about them. Believe for them. And hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, for he is faithful it promised, right? Hold fast. Stand strong. And come against the enemy, the demonic forces that have taken over humans and are doing their will through them. Hold fast the confession of your hope. Do spiritual warfare. Cast down the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness, right? Cast them down in Jesus' name. Pray up a hedge of protection round about the people that we talked about and about your house, about the righteous. Father, we thank you that in this Passover, it is most essential that people believe the Lamb which represents the Word of God, and have eaten it, spiritually speaking, eaten the Word of the Lord, and they believe it, and they're standing upon the promises. They believe Psalm 91. They believe all that's written, and they just want more and more of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for giving them just this. We thank you for the great revival that's going to come from this destruction, because it's going to turn a lot of people around when they compare the righteous and the wicked, who was taken out and who was not. Father, we thank you for this mercy and this grace. We thank you so much for it in the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. Praises to your name. Well, thank you for praying, saints. God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.